This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is, and welcome to it, Klaus Financial's Money in Motion. Answers to all your retirement questions in one place. The one place is right here, right now. Kyle Kite and Steve Scow join us in studio. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Good morning, Mike. How are you today?
Great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing well, Mike.
Yeah, we're almost ready for the Christmas season, just a week or so away, 2 weeks, I guess, or so. And regular listeners know at 10:30 every single Monday, we ask questions about our retirement planning. And Social Security, I know, is a big one, that a big topic that a lot of people want to understand, particularly about the upcoming year. We're going to ask a Klaus Quiz question of the week later, and one lucky listener who calls 815-877-8440, that's 815-877-8440, will win a $25 gift card for PetSmart if they answer the Klaus Quiz question of the week correctly. And let's get right into it here. That's a favorite topic of Money in Motion listeners, isn't it? Social Security.
It really is, Mike. And the reason for that is obviously everybody realizes the amount of money they're putting away out of their paychecks towards Social Security. And at the same time, if you're not yet retired, I'm sure you have your parents and or other people that you know, and the importance that Social Security has had to their own retirement. So it is definitely an important aspect of it. It's not designed and never was really designed to be your sole support of income in retirement, but it is definitely part of it. So it is something that we review on a regular basis. And as you may remember, Mike, the earliest that somebody can start collecting Social Security at this point in time is actually age 62. Also, for their full retirement Social Security, again, right now, the ages for most people would be somewhere between age 66 and 68. Into the future, with millennials, it could be 110. But right now, it's probably going to change. I would not be surprised to see into the early 70s at the very least, just because of the fact that on average, people are living much, much longer than they did when it was initially established. So it does have a factor.
And you say between 66 and 68, full retirement. What is the what difference, or how do we know what the actual age is? Like, let's say someone right now is listening out there and they're 67. How will they know whether they get full Social Security retirement or not?
Well, that's a great question. And in the past, most people would have received statements from the Social Security office projecting what their potential benefits would be at each respective age. But the other thing we point out is that in today's environment, you can also go to the Social Security website, which is ssa.gov, and you can actually do your own projections right online to see when you're eligible for your full retirement age benefits and what benefits you would be eligible for if you started earlier at age 62 or if you actually waited until age 70 for the maximum benefit. The thing that we always point out is for individuals that are looking to possibly start their Social Security at age 62 and still do some part-time work, you have to take that into consideration. For 2017, the maximum an individual could be receiving from working W-2 income for the year is $16,920. And if you're collecting Social Security starting at age 62 and you're actually earning more than that number, for every $2 you go over, you would have $1 of the benefits held back. How that would work with Social Security, as we understand it, is that when you turn age 66 or 7 for your full retirement benefits, then it would be blended back in. So it's not lost, but it is definitely postponed. And for people that are actually born after 1929, to qualify for Social Security, you would need a total of 40 credits, which would be roughly 10 years of work. You get one credit for each quarter in the year that you're actually paying towards the Social Security system.
Interesting. So if you were born in, say, 1930 and you don't have 40 credits, you better get on it and start working.
Absolutely. Get those quarters in.
10 years total of work.
Minimum.
Minimum in order to qualify for your own Social Security.
Yeah, another thing we point out with regard to Social Security that some people may or may not be aware of also is if it's a situation where you're married and you have a spouse that does not work outside the home, they still would be eligible for half of their working spouse's benefits when they turn the same age. So it's not a situation where, again, if you're a married individual and not working outside the home, that you would receive no benefits. Those are other areas to take into consideration. And that is an important aspect of the planning process. I'm many times will tell that to clients and prospects, and they'll be semi-surprised that that is an option.
Now, as far as 2017 goes, which is right around the corner, what changes are happening for Social Security next year?
Yeah, there's going to be a few changes that listeners need to be aware of, Mike. The first one is that they've raised the maximum taxable earnings for Social Security. So what that means is right now it's about $118,500. So if you make anything up to $118,500, you pay the Social Security tax on. That number is going up to $127,200 in 2017. So let me repeat that. If you make up to $118,500 now, you pay the Social Security tax. That number is getting raised in 2017 up to $127,200. So in other words, the maximum amount of Social Security tax that you pay is going to go up from $7,347 to $7,886. So about an extra $540 in tax that you'll be paying for that Social Security.
Uh-huh. Any other changes coming in 2017 that we should be aware of?
Yeah, they actually also announced that people will be getting a raise this year on their Social Security, which everybody's always excited for. We haven't had one in 2016, and then a few years before that, there wasn't one either. So this year, they're giving you a nice 0.3% increase. So again, they usually tie this to some type of inflation measure. So they're basically hinting that there was a little bit of inflation. That's why you're getting the raise. For most people, this 0.3% increase is going to look like about a $5 a month increase in pay that you get.
Okay, now, that's a really nice coffee from Starbucks, maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
or half a coffee.
Or half a coffee, yeah, exactly. That's interesting. So a 0.3 increase to benefits, 0.3%, we should say, increase. Not a 30% increase, a 0.3% increase for benefits in 2017. Averages out to about $5 a month. All right, and can you guys explain the different types? Well, you know what? Let's take a break, and then we'll switch gears, if we will, because I know there are a bunch of other things we want to get into with regards to Social Security and different sorts of retirement accounts. You are listening to Cost Financial's Money in Motion. If you want any more information about anything we're talking about, please go to costfinancial.com. That's KLAAS financial.com. If you have any questions about anything we're talking about, call us live at 815-398-9765. That's 815-398-WROK. We'll be right back with Steve and Kyle from Cost Financial. Stay with us.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
Yes, it is. Any questions at all you have about anything we talk about, costfinancial.com is the website for Cost Financial, KLAAS financial.com. That's KLAAS financial. If you have questions about, if you want to ask questions live to us right now, you can call in. We are live. 815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK. Gentlemen, can you explain once again the different types of accounts people might have for their retirement accounts?
Yes, Mike. Again, that's something that we have talked about before. For the most part, today, people end up through their employer, they probably would have like a 401k plan for most individuals if they work through a hospital or school district, non-profit church, that would be like a 403b. These are just IRS codes that designate how money can be put away on a pre-tax basis through your employer. Also for municipal employees and other nonprofits, a an additional type of retirement plan called a 457 may or may not be available. You've heard us talk also about the Roth 401ks, Roth IRAs, IRAs, and then also after-tax invested dollars. So there are a lot of different ways that people can accumulate money for retirement, and it's a matter of, you know, what would be the best options available. Now, when we're talking about the Roth type of 401k IRAs, to a large extent, that is based to some degree on an age of an individual. We feel that if it's that individual is under age 45, definitely the Roth is a big advantage. But from a tax standpoint, because the Roth contributions are after-tax contributions, sometimes if you're in higher income brackets, putting the money away on a pre-tax basis through your traditional 401k and or IRA can be an advantage. So it is a individual situation for each individual, but that tax deferral on the traditional format is huge. And on the Roth plans, when you're putting the money away after tax, you're actually accumulating it and having the distributions come out income tax free. That's even better.
Yeah. I do actually have we did get a message here from a caller. A caller actually called, and I have it here up on the screen. She mentioned about earlier before the break, we were talking about the raise on Social Security, this 0.3% raise. She said that won't necessarily be reflected on the Social Security check, or she wants to know if it will, because they also raise the cost of Medicare. She just wanted to ask if that was accurate. Do you guys know anything about that? We haven't really talked about Medicare a whole lot on the show, but she wanted some clarification on that, if you guys know.
Yeah, that's a great point of reference, Mike. And while the Social Security income would go up by 0.3%, more times than not, what does happen is the Medicare increase in premiums chews up any kind of an increase in actual income that an individual would receive. So she is absolutely correct, where Social Security will go up 0.3%, the $5 a month Medicare premiums will probably exceed that with their increase in 2017.
Yes. And speaking of health stuff, what about health insurance when I retire, and also the required minimum distributions?
Yeah, absolutely, Mike. This is, again, something that we hit on all the time, because it's a very big concern for people when they're looking at retirement, especially if they're going to retire before age 65, because as we've talked about before, this ties into Medicare. You cannot get Medicare until you're age 65. Now, there's certain situations where you could if you're disabled and things like that, but for most people, you're not going to be able to get Medicare until you turn age 65. So the question is, you know, if people retire at 60 or even 62 and start their Social Security, you know, you're still not going to be able to get health insurance through Medicare. Now, you can go buy a private insurance through the exchanges now, the Affordable Care Act, but again, that tends to be very expensive. So for many people, that age 65 is the trigger as far as when they retire, because then they're eligible for Medicare, and then you can get, you know, a Medicare supplement or Medicare Advantage to keep your health care costs in check. So, but again, just because you're age 65, that also used to be the full retirement age for Social Security, so it was a really big trigger. But as we were talking about a minute ago, the full retirement age is getting pushed back, and it all depends on the year you were born. As we said, for most people nowadays, it's between 66 and 68, but it's all based on the year you were born. For some people, it's 66 and 6 months or something like that. So those are always things that we want to be aware of. So.
And what about the age 70 and a half? Why is that age significant?
Yeah, that's another big one. So at age 70 and a half, the IRS forces you to start pulling money out of your traditional IRAs or any 401ks that you're not contributing to. So remember, there is a caveat where if you're working past age 70 and a half, you can still contribute to your 401k through your work and not have to take any money out. But any money in traditional IRAs or old 401ks that you have where you don't work anymore, they are going to force you to start pulling money out. Now, the IRS calculates this based on your age and a divisor table. For most people, the first year RMD at age 70 and a half is around 3.5% of all your retirement dollars. So again, they segregate this out based on any IRAs that you have. It doesn't matter where they're at. You can take this total amount as all they're looking for. So if you have five different IRAs with a total value of $200,000 between the five of them, then they're going to take that total $200,000. use the divisor, and then you're going to have to pull your percentage out of that. So again, they're just looking for the total dollar amount. It doesn't have to come out of individual IRAs or anything like that. It's the total that they want you to get out.
You are listening to Cost Financial's Money in Motion. You can call us and ask us a question live on the air, 815-398-9765, 815-398-WROK. We have a good amount of time here to talk about pensions. What about pensions, those of us lucky enough to have those?
Yeah, well, the pensions, for the most part, they are more of the exception than the rule today, Mike. Most companies have, over the course of time, eliminated their pensions. In fact, if you had worked for an employer in the past where you actually had some pension money accrued, it wouldn't be a surprise if over the last year or so you would have received a letter from that previous company offering you the option to take a lump sum withdrawal from the pension if you wanted to, and rolling it over to an IRA at this point, to instead of receiving the future pension income. And in that situation, most companies are just trying to get former employee dollars off their books. So while pensions can still be very much of an advantage for individuals that are fortunate enough to have them, vast majority of people don't anymore. If you do have that as an option, there will be many different ways that you can look at starting that income when you do retire, whether it be for your own single life only, or if you're married and you set up for a joint ownership of it, or a joint life type of income where you would receive a dollar amount as long as you're alive. And when you passed away, if before your spouse would continue to receive anywhere from 50% to 75 or 100% of the same number. Some of the old pension plans even offered the opportunity to take a lump sum out, as I mentioned a minute ago. And depending on your situation, the lump sum option can provide much greater flexibility and still full control over the invested dollars that you have. Whereas a pension, once you start it, you know, you do not have access to any of the dollars. You really are not able to change it. So it's kind of a one-step decision process. Once you've made that choice and submitted everything, it's not reversible. So again, in the planning for retirement, those are definitely aspects and things to take into consideration if, in fact, you are fortunate enough to still have a pension with your employer.
If you, and I'm sure this varies per employer, and if it is any sort of, you know, I'm sure it varies pension to pension, but if you don't take the lump sum and you decide to take the month by month distribution from your pension, and you pass away, that's you lose that whatever it was left in your pension account, right? It doesn't necessarily go to your spouse, or in some cases it does.
Well, typically by default, through the IRS, the 50% survival benefit for a spouse, if you're in fact married, isn't automatic. You actually have to have your spousal consent in a signed form if instead you choose to have it paid out only over your life. And they're also signing a form usually if it's a situation where you're rolling out the lump sum. So actually by federal law, it is at least a 50% survivorship benefit for a spouse from a pension.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that would make sense. I mean, that's part of the point of a lot of pensions. I know I have a relative who was a police officer who passed away, and his wife, my aunt, has some of his pension, as I understand it. But as far as private pensions go, again, if you're lucky enough to have them, now would be a good time maybe to check to see what the situation is and the requirements are for that. If you're trying to decide between a lump sum or the regular distributions. I'm going to take this opportunity right now to ask the cost quiz question of the week. As our regular listeners know, we do this at the towards the end or sometimes in the middle of the show. We try to keep you on your toes. This week's winner will win a $25 gift card for PetSmart. Again, a $25 gift card for PetSmart. And I'm going to give you a different phone number here. This is the number two to Kloss Financial itself. 815-877-8440 is the phone number. 815-877-8440. That's also the number if you want to make an appointment with Kloss Financial. And your appointment, your first consultation with Kloss Financial is free. It is complimentary. You can call 815-877-8440 to make that appointment. But the question of the week, the Kloss quiz question of the week is, how much will the taxable earnings for Social Security rise to in 2017? Again, how much will the taxable earnings for Social Security rise to in 2017? We mentioned this earlier in the show, actually right before the break. 815-877-8440 is the phone number to call, 877-8440. Kyle and Steve, we have about 2 minutes left or so. Anything else you would like to add about Social Security or pensions or retirement planning et al. Before we say goodbye?
Yeah, going back, you know, Mike, with the disappearing pensions, that just puts even more emphasis on people making sure that they're taking control of their own retirement and saving whatever amount they can into whatever plan is there, the 401k. And, you know, we get so many people saying, oh, my employer doesn't match anything that I put into the 401k, so I'm just not going to save. And that's just the wrong way to look at it. It's your retirement. You probably want to retire at some point, someday, so you should probably start saving for it, unless you plan on working until you die, which most people don't. So, yeah, you know, you just have to take control of what you can control. So
there was a joke on Saturday Night Live a couple of episodes ago where the woman said 401k, don't get, or you want to take $20 out of my paycheck to donate to some 401k? I want that $20 for lottery tickets. What are you talking about? and they're like, no, you know, it's, yes, it might be tempting to use that $20 every week on lottery tickets, but it's also probably a lot smarter to contribute right now to a retirement plan in your paycheck. Even if it's only $20 a paycheck, that adds up over time, and you'll be very thankful you did that towards, you know, the end of your working career. Anything else, gentlemen, you want to add?
No, just as Kyle pointed out, the importance of working with a financial advisor to coordinate all that, because there are a lot of different choices and options, and based on what you choose to do and how you accumulate for the future will depend on the success of your enjoyment of your retirement.
Absolutely. Let Kloss Financial be your quarterback for all your retirement planning. 815-877-8440 is their phone number, 877-8440. Gentlemen, great chatting with you as always.
You too, Mike. Have a good one.
Have an awesome week, Mike.
We'll see you at Coolidge.com. Until next time, keep that radio on.